Very pleasant. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into our weekly Fan and Press Luncheon here presented by O'Neill's Grill. We want to welcome in those folks that are joining us from members of the media today, as well as those who are watching on Facebook Live through JMU Sports Facebook page, and to those who are listening through the daily sports feed here locally in Harrisonburg on ESPN 1360 AM and 106.9 FM today on the daily sports feed as well. We do have a busy schedule for you today. First of all, good afternoon. I'm Kurt Dudley. Delighted to be with you here today. And first time in a couple of weeks, we've had our press conference presented to you by O'Neill's Grill. So we got a lot of catching up to do. And we do have a full docket with head coach Kurt Cignetti of football leading us off. And we'll also hear from the two basketball coaches at JMU, Coach Sean O'Regan of women's basketball and Mark Byington of the men's basketball program. This past weekend, the JMU Football Dukes, as the number 3 seed in the FCS playoffs, had the Saturday off, and so they did receive the bye, and so they are at home this coming Saturday facing the Lions of Louisiana, southeastern Louisiana, a team which defeated Florida A&M, the Rattlers, 38-14, rather handily this past Saturday in the opening round. So that will be the Dukes' opponent coming up this Saturday, 2 o'clock at Bridgeport Stadium. I'll give you the video and TV coverage and everything at the end of our session with Coach Cignetti. But let's bring in the Dukes head coach. And Coach, been a couple of weeks, a little downtime there for Thanksgiving for your Dukes as well. Just kind of where we are going into this round of playoffs here in the FCS, the Dukes' final trip through this playoff format.
Well, you know, we're excited to play, and we'll be out there today. We had a short practice last night, and you know, really important that we kind of get that edge back and that mindset, have a great week of preparation, sense of urgency, because the guys have been off, you know, and, you know, we want to start better. Like in 19, we had a nice break like this, didn't start real great in the first quarter against Monmouth. If y'all remember, ended up playing real well as the game went on. But, you know, this is obviously all the teams in the playoffs are really good teams right now. This is a really good football team. We're going to play really well.
Coach, you said that you want to get off to a quicker start. And as you addressed that this time, what might be different in the way that you might approach that? Or is there a difference, basically?
I think making it a point of emphasis is where it starts, you know, because of past experience. You know, we came out of that first quarter against Monmouth. I think it was 21-20. Game ended up 62-20. This is a much better football team than that Monmouth team was. So kind of relaying the message to the guys that the preparation, the sense of urgency is very important. We may change practice up slightly as we get later in the week, maybe a little bit more good on good 2-minute type stuff. You know, good competitive stuff, but got to get in the game.
All right, very good. We do have a number of the members of the media who have queued up for questions for Coach Cignetti, so let's get to those. We begin with TJ Eck from WHSB TV3 here in Harrisonburg. Good afternoon, TJ.
Hey, Kurt. Coach, a few questions for you. I'll start off with, obviously, you're going to be going up against one of the best quarterbacks in the FCS with Cole Kelly out of Southeast Louisiana. Defensively, does it take, you know, all three levels? Are you looking at maybe is the pass rush going to have to come up big? Like as you defensively get ready, what's the key to stopping him and trying to slow down their passing attack?
Got to play well. Got to put pressure on the quarterback. Got to cover. Got to make plays. Got to try to get him off rhythm. He's a really good player. He's a big guy, 6'7", 260. Reminds me of Drew Bledsoe, who we went against a long time ago, one of the places I was at. But he's got good weapons at receiver. They got a nice offensive structure. The offensive coordinator does a great job in his design. They got players across the board, and so it'll be a big challenge.
Talking about your team, I know since you took over JMU a few years ago, you've really put an emphasis on running the ball, and you've had success with that. I know this year you maybe haven't had as much success running the ball as you would have liked. Right. And I was listening to Trent Dilfer talk on a podcast. He talked about how offense has evolved throughout a season. How much has your offense evolved from where you guys started the year to where you're at now, I guess?
It's evolved a lot out of necessity. And, you know, every year as a coach, you got to identify your strengths and week to week because it can change based on injury. And put together, you know, the best style of play to give you the best chance to be successful. I mean, we've had offenses in the past where we had quarterback run for over 1,200 yards and throw for, you know, 1,800 yards. It all depends on your people. So, you know, when the year started, we lost an All-American tackle that decided not to come back on late notice. And then Liam was out a long time. Then we lost our center. We've had a lot of our backs get hurt, and that's affected our run game. And but fortunately, we've got a good quarterback. We've got good receivers. We've got backs that are healthy still. They can catch ball out of the backfield. So, you know, Mike Shanahan and Tino and the whole offensive staff put together a good plan to, you know, compensate and adjust. And we've been productive the last 3 or 4 weeks, but still a lot of areas that we can play better.
And then finally, for me, health-wise, do you feel like your team's in a pretty good spot coming off the bye week, coming off the holiday? How are you guys doing health-wise? Are you going to get some guys back maybe you haven't had the last few weeks?
Yeah, Lorenzo Bryant will be back. I think Latrell will be closer to 100%. You know, there's a couple other guys maybe that didn't play last week that will get back. Now, some guys are out for the season. You know, we're not going to get those guys back.
All right, thank you, TJ. I do see we have a new guest with us today, so I'm going to slide him in right now. Ted Lewis. Ted, welcome to today. It looks like you have some questions for Coach Cignetti. And first of all, sir, who are you representing today? And again, welcome to our Fan and Press Luncheon. Ted, you're muted, sir. I'm sorry. There you go.
Yeah, I'm with the Times-Picayune in New Orleans and the Advocate in Baton Rouge.
Very good. Papers.
So, Coach, how much of an advantage do you feel like it is in the playoffs for you to have had a week off and to recuperate a little bit while Southeastern had a game last week, and also being at home? I know you get good crowds at your games.
Yeah, I think the advantage is that you get rested up, but you get a couple guys that are injured, maybe back. Let's face it, this is our 20th game of the year. So even the guys that are playing are beat up. We got some guys playing that when the season ends, we'll have surgery. So it benefits all of them. Now, the negative is the thing I just mentioned earlier is, you know, Southeast has been playing. They're in a rhythm. They're executing well. You know, they're trying to maintain the level of play, you know, that they've established. We've got to sort of kickstart the engine again and get going again, but I don't see that as an issue. Playing at home, I think, is a big advantage, not having to travel.
You mentioned about Southeastern's offense. Their defense has gotten pushed around, and then last week they came up with a big effort. What difference did you see there with Southeastern and the way they played defense against Florida A&M?
Yeah, they won the line of scrimmage, and they tackled well, and they covered well. And, you know, I listened to their coach's press conference, a clip of it, saw it on Twitter where they had challenged them to be more physical in practice and things like that. And it showed up on the tape, and they got good players. I mean, they got a lot of athletic guys. You know, their D-line's very athletic. Their linebackers are big and athletic. Their cover guys cover well. So, you know, I know they've given up some points throughout the season, but there's a lot of good quarterbacks in that league. Some great ones. They play against some great quarterbacks and skill guys. So it's been a little bit more of a scoring league probably, but they're very capable on defense.
This is your last time in the FCS playoffs. Feel like that gives your team a little extra sense of urgency?
We've got quite a few seniors on this team that have been in the playoffs, had a lot of playoff experience. Have been in the national championship. Some guys that have been on championship teams that won national championship. I think a lot of guys had a real sour taste in their mouth the way the Sam Houston game ended last spring, where we had the big lead and squandered it in the second half. That's been a motivating factor for a lot of those guys throughout the season. I just feel bad that we have so many productive guys that have gotten injured this fall and really aren't able to be on the field for us. But we've had quite a few guys step up, and we've continued to find a way.
And lastly, looking down the future, what do you see for James Madison and Sun Belt Conference?
Well, James Madison's a great brand. It's a championship brand. You know, we'll be a winner. There'll be a little bit of a transition time. You know, we've got to add personnel to our staff, a recruiting department, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we've got to build our scholarship levels up. We'll be recruiting a different kind of guy in some cases. But JMU will be a very good team in the Sun Belt.
There you go. Thank you a lot, Coach.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ted. I appreciate you joining us here today, Ted. Thank you very much. And if you do have some follow-up questions, if you stick around with us, please do let us know here. All right, let's move on to Savannah Rieger from the Breeze on campus. Good afternoon, Savannah. And here's Coach Signetti for you.
Thanks, Kurt. Hi, Coach.
Hey.
First, I wanted to ask about after the bye week, players coming back. Did everyone come prepared, ready to go? How did practice go yesterday?
Well, yep. Mondays is a real short practice, longer meetings. We're only on the field about 45 minutes on Mondays. So today's a work day, but I anticipate we're going to have a great practice. You know, this is sort of like a new season now. Every play is critically important, every rep in practice, every minute in the meeting, how you take care of yourself off the field when you're in your dorm or apartment, the extra preparation that you put in the game planning so that you can react and respond quickly and play your best on Saturday.
And then Southeastern did a lot of special team trick plays. They were pretty advocate about, you know, running the fake. You know, how do you guys prepare for that? And what did you think about that?
Yeah, I'm glad they showed him last week so that we had a chance to see him on tape. But, you know, that they're well coached in every facet of the game. And they saw some things on tape that they thought were there and they exploited them. They've got good kickers. They've got good return guys. Their guys give great effort on teams. They're good on teams. But, you know, our teams have been good too, and all of our teams have improved over last season. And we're getting some great effort from our guys on special teams.
And then lastly for me, do you have were any games this season at all turning points for your team and games that you just learned a lot more about yourself in?
Well, you know, it's been such a different kind of year, just to be totally honest with you. To play those eight games in the spring, for guys to be out with the COVID and come back and practice in the fall, and the injury started mounting up, and then a short turnaround, and we did everything we could to keep the injuries down, but they kept piling up. You know, we got off to a fast start. We played pretty consistently on defense throughout the season. We had a little bit of a lull on offense there and then sort of had to retool and adjust a little bit what we were doing, and we picked it back up. It's been a year of perseverance, really, and we've had to overcome a lot of adversity. Had a lot of guys step up into new roles. So, but the mindset is really good. You know, right now the kids are excited to play, and it's all out there for the taking. But it's one day at a time, and every day's got to be a great day, and you got to stack good days on good days.
Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Savannah. Wayne Epps Jr. with us once again from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Coach, I want to kind of follow up, if I could, on TJ's question from earlier about offensive evolution. Where do you guys feel like you maybe are in your offensive evolution at this point in the season? You mentioned, you know, you're getting a little bit healthier in the backfield again. So where do you feel you are in that at this point in the season?
Well, I mean, you know, your track record's your track record. Your statistics are your statistics. Your production's your production. And this week's a new challenge. And, you know, you got to play your strengths. So, you know, I guess we'll find out after the game where we are. You know, we got a tremendous challenge we're going to play. But it's a total team plan. It's just not an offensive plan or a defensive plan or a team plan. It's a plan to win the game. So, and they have to all complement each other. So, you know, I feel really good that we've got an older quarterback right now that's playing really well, makes great decisions. We've got some playmakers on the outside making plays. And we're not, you know, the turnover ratio, we're number one in the country. We've been really good at that. And our teams, some of our coverage units have really improved. So I feel great about that. So, you know, Southeast Louisiana has a certain way they play on defense. And our job is to try to match our strengths to our advantage, and we'll see how it works out.
And then, obviously, Southeastern Louisiana put up a lot of, you know, big numbers offensively, particularly in the pass game. So what do you need to see from the secondary in particular against them? And how much can your experience in the secondary help you in a game like that when they have multiple weapons like that they can pass it around to?
Yeah, and what's interesting too is their leading rushers are quarterback. So, and he's 6'7", 260. And, you know, he'll get hit 10 to 12 times a game, but when you're that big, you just keep getting up. But, you know, it's the defensive line, it's the linebackers and the DBs when you talk about, you know, containing their offense. Everybody's got to do their job. Corey will have a great plan put together. He always does. And we'll mix it up, try to get him off his rhythm, and we're going to have to win the one-on-one battles. Got to win the one-on-one battles up front. Got to win the one-on-one battles in coverage. And we got to make plays. And, you know, we got to tackle real well and play penalty free.
When you have a quarterback who runs it that way and is that physical, that big, does that kind of affect the balance of, you know, pressure versus dropping guys back in coverage? Does that kind of make you have to kind of think about that a little bit differently against a quarterback like that?
Well, I think you better know that based on certain personnel groupings and formations, you know, that this guy, you know, could run the ball still. And so, you know, you only got 11 out there. They got 11 too. So, you know, we're going to do what we do best. You know, we've got too many reps in right now not to do that. But we have a very versatile package on defense. We can throw a lot of different things at people. And, you know, but we're going to pressure the quarterback. And I'm sure we're going to blitz. I mean, we probably blitz 40% of the time this year. So I don't see that changing much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Shane Metlin from the Daily News Record. Good afternoon, Shane.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I was just wondering what opponent do you face recently might be most comparable to Southeastern Louisiana? You know, when you look at scheme, personnel, things like that.
I think scheme-wise, they're unique. We probably haven't faced anybody quite like them. They spread the ball around really well. They'll throw it to the backs, the tight ends, and the receivers, a lot of different personnel groupings, spread the field horizontally and vertically, run the quarterback. You know, watched them against Villanova a couple of years ago in the playoffs, have that tape here, watched four or five times leading up, not knowing we were going to play them in the playoffs. And I just respected what they did on offense. I thought they had a really nice scheme. And then they got the players to execute it. So it's hard to compare them to anybody that we've played up to this. I mean, they're throwing for 460 a game, something like that. And I think they average around 560 a game total offense. And, you know, they may lead the country in scoring. They scored a lot of points.
All right. Thank you.
All right, any other follow-up quick questions for Coach Signetti? Again, we have a pretty busy day here ahead of us with the Jamie basketball coaches with us as well. Okay, Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. Best of luck as you get ready for your FCS second-round playoff game Saturday at 2 o'clock at Bridgeport Stadium.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.